Radio City Talk.
The A to Z of Merseyside football.
And let's welcome John Keith into the studio and have a look through the H's in the A to Z of Merseyside football. It's a long list which continues into a new year. Happy New Year to you, John.
Happy New Year, Steve. Nice to be back with you. And the H's go on. Will they ever end? But today, Hunter Hart. Now, he was a player who overcame a massive physical handicap to become a classy Everton captain and coach, only for his 17-year Goodison career to have a sad end prior to his tragic, untimely death. Born in Glasgow in March 1897, he lost the sight of an eye in a childhood accident, but he became a marine engine fitter and never allowed his impaired vision to curtail or hinder his football career, making an impact at Parkhead Juniors before signing for Airdrie in August 1919. His display attracted several English clubs and in January 1922 made a £4,000 move to Everton, making his debut at left half in the 1-0 defeat at Bolton a week later as his new club was pitched into a relegation battle. Everton finished 20th, beating the drop by one place and 4 points, but Hart's quality was clear, the Liverpool Courier observing, "Even under such trying conditions, he proved what he is, a great footballer, both by his tackling and the calculating way in which he pushes the leather up to his forwards." Hart is a cool and clean player, stands 5'9" and tips the scale at 10 stone 12 pounds. He places the ball well, besides being a capital shot and having fine control of the ball. He is a strong and go-ahead halfback. Recognisable by a trademark quiff, Hart's impact at Goodison earned him the Everton captaincy in 1922, which he held until being succeeded by Warney Cresswell in 1927. His qualities of leadership were evident in his mentoring of a young recruit arriving from Tranmere in 1925, one William Ralph Dixie Dean, including a special version of Bedtime Stories. The newcomer's pre-match apprehension was particularly evident before away games, so Hart would read newspaper articles to the young Dixie the night before matches to get him to sleep.
Oh!
So there you are.
He's the man who looked after him.
Exactly.
A father figure.
He was exactly that. He told him bedtime stories, Steve. You wouldn't credit it, would you? During the 1925-26 season, Hart switched from left half to centre half and missed only one of Everton's 42 games when they swept to the Championship in 1927-28, powered by Dean's remarkable record of 60 league goals. Hart had a brief second spell as captain in the ignominious 1929-30 campaign when Everton finished bottom and were relegated for the first time in their history, just 2 years after being crowned champions. Dean was absent for much of the season through injury, and even his 23 goals in 25 games failed to save them. It was the season that ended Hart's playing career. He retired in February 1930 after 301 Everton appearances and collecting the unwanted distinction of becoming the first Everton player to be sent off twice. He took up coaching and scouting roles with the club, and the death of revered secretary manager Tom McIntosh in October 1935 led to Hart being appointed assistant to McIntosh's successor, Three O'Kelly. 3 months later, he also took up a new first-team coaching post. But it all turned sour for Hart in November 1939 when Kelly reported to the board that £34 had gone missing from the club's accounts. After an investigation, Hart was one of two people interviewed by the board whose minutes recorded, quote, "Mr. Hart could not explain the full shortage. He stated that he had taken £7 from the petty cash account, which he had not replaced." Hart's fate is not recorded, but he left the club either by his decision or the club's, a sad outcome after 17 years on stinting service.
Oh, what an unfortunate way to end it all.
I know.
And I presume that was a lot of money back then.
Well, obviously, £34 was a huge amount. £7 was a formidable amount as well. In September 1941, Hart made a two-year return to football as secretary manager of his former club Airdrie, who were then competing in the Scottish Wartime League. And when hostilities ended, he returned to his home base in the Wirral, where he'd lived with his wife Marjorie and son Alexander, to work again as a marine engine fitter. But he still had Everton in his blood, and in October 1951 wrote to the board offering his services as a coach. The directors, though, were not receptive, and the board minutes stated, "It was agreed to inform him that we had no position to offer him at this moment." 4 months later, in February 1952, Hart collapsed and died suddenly in the engine room of a ship he was helping to repair at Ellesmere Port. He was 54. So what a very sad end to a man who starred for Everton and was captain.
He had some massive highs and some absolute tragic lows as well, didn't he?
Yeah, it's amazing the stories in this A to Z, Steve.
All right, let's shift on. Who's on next stage?
Alan Hampson, who made just a single first-team appearance for Everton wearing the number 10 jersey in the 1-1 home top-flight draw with Bolton in October 1950 and had 127 league outings for Halifax Town and Bradford City between 1952 and 1957. But his place in our Merseyside A to Z is earned by his memorable spell as manager of South Liverpool FC from 1960 to 1971, when he brought success back to a club that produced several players who'd carve out Football League careers, including Liverpool pair Jimmy Case and John Aldridge and Peter Billing of Everton and Coventry. Mm-hmm. Hampson was born in Prescott in 1927, and after a final playing spell at Prescott Cables, his arrival at Holly Park at the start of the 60s was the signal for South to swing. The club had been an all-amateur outfit, but began to gather professionals, among them former Liverpool player Bobby Murdoch and ex-Everton wing-half Kenny Ray. After losing their place in the Lancashire Combination's First Division, they won their way back to become champions in 1966. And in the first round of the 1964-65 FA Cup, they held League Club Halifax to a 2-2 away draw and then knocked them out 4-2 in the replay at their Garston home. Under Hampson, South became founder members of the Northern Premier League in 1968-69, another proud moment for the club, which was one of the first to install floodlights way back in 1949. After his sterling exploits for South, Hampson moved on to take charge of St Helens Town in 1971 and engineered more success, leading them to the 1972 Lancashire Combination title, amongst other trophies, and overseeing St Helens step up into the Cheshire County League in 1975. Hampson died aged 61 in August 1989, less than a year before the club's enforced move from vandalised Holly Park. But he would be pleased that after enduring some bleak times, including the old club folding, the name of South Liverpool still survives. The current club are members of the West Cheshire League, playing at Jericho Lane, Otterspool. And in December 2018, their representatives attended a ceremony at Liverpool South Parkway rail station for the unveiling of a plaque commemorating a 1967 All-Star charity match between a Billy Liddle select and a Ferenc Puskas select at Holly Park, which is now the site of the station.
Brilliant stories. Lovely stuff.
Yeah. Moving on now to a Tranmere star, Steve, George Hudson. He spent little more than 2 years at Tranmere, but his 22 goals in 63 appearances made him a crowd favourite. He scored 6 in his first 18 outings, following his then club record £15,000 move from Northampton Town in January 1967 to help Tranmere clinch promotion from Division 4. Centre-forward Hudson was born in Manchester in March 1937, began his league career with Blackburn, from whom Tranmere could have signed him for a mere £200 7 years earlier, but decided against making that modest investment. Instead, the 5 foot 10 inch 12-stone striker moved on to Accrington, Peterborough and Coventry before alighting at Northampton, all the time blazing an impressive scoring trail. He was one of the Tranmere heroes who knocked out top-flight Coventry in the FA Cup fourth round in February 1968, Hudson scoring the first goal in the 2-0 home replay win over his former club. Hudson complimented star attacker George Yardley in Tranmere's attack, feeding off his partner's headed flicks. And his goal after 8 seconds at Bury in December 1967 is the fastest away goal in Tranmere history, and just 0.3 seconds later than Tony Thomas's club record of 7.7 seconds against Southend on New Year's Day 1991.
Some records.
Hudson joined Altrincham in March 1968 after scoring 162 goals in 296 career league games, later working on the Daily Mirror printing press in Manchester.
As you would do after you become a top goal scorer like that.
Indeed.
Eight seconds, I'm trying to think. So that's not from the kickoff. That's someone plays it back to you and then you welly it.
Yes, I'm not
quite sure. Unless you all just run for it. I'd love to see the
video of that
one.
It won't be from the kickoff. No, he's made the run and somebody's played it to him, but it takes some doing.
It's early doors, isn't it? Three brilliant names. The A to Z of football with John Keith. Fascinating, as always. And it returns next week.
Radio City Talk. The A to Z of Merseyside football.